Welcome to Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
And welcome aboard Mind Food Radio into, well, an interesting world today.
Well, is that a suntan I'm noticing?
It's summer, just the lighting.
Summer is on its way.
Oh, I can't wait.
Actually, we've
do
got
you go to the beach?
Well, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
I can see you there. Yeah.
But we have got, actually, when you think of our show planned, it's very much like a nice big bite of early summer. We've got kebabs with Michelle, our food director of Mind Food, and Carolyn, our fashion editor, is talking all about stripes.
All that and more coming up on today's program. Now, of course, if you'd like to see anything that's happening out there on the web in terms of Mind Food, jump onto the website.
That's right. Just head to mindfood.com. And also, if you want to sign up for a daily recipe, you can do that. And we also, of course, have our brand new app. If you're here,
yeah, that's going really well.
It's going very, very well.
Very well. All that and more coming up on today's program.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.
Well, last week there was a conference in Australia. It was the first time it was ever held. In fact, Be Active has been held all around the world in different locations. And it's a wonderful conference that brings all practitioners together in and around, you know, about getting out there and being more active. So I'd like to welcome to the show today Nanette Mutrie. Hi, Nanette.
How are you?
Now, tell me, what sort of people go to the conference and what should we be doing in our everyday lives in terms of becoming more active?
From my own perspective, I was talking about how walking might be the most convenient mode of activity that we ought to promote to people to help them become more active.
And I guess also, you know, obesity is a real issue in society, in fact, in many cultures. Was there a focus on that?
That's an interesting question. For about a decade, the topic of physical activity has almost always come under the umbrella of helping with the obesity epidemic. And I heard on the news in Sydney whilst I was staying that Australia's statistics in terms of obesity are certainly not getting any better. However, the topic of physical activity for health has now come out as a topic in its own right, not just to be associated with obesity. It is. The more active we are, the more energy we put out. Therefore, there should be some helpful way of helping us maintain weight or avoid putting on weight.
Yeah.
But the world statistics now show the physical inactivity is a much higher risk if we rank all the risks for health than obesity itself. So not being active enough affects us in many, many ways, our mental health, our physical health, but also our weight is one of those concerns. So of course, obesity is an important topic, but nowadays the evidence suggests that inactivity is a bigger epidemic. Indeed, it's been described as a pandemic across the world, where two-thirds of the world's population do not now achieve sufficient activity to gain the health benefits that we know exist.
The other thing too is, you know, there is that research that shows, you know, older people that are more active and have a much more active lifestyle in terms of, you know, a bit of exercise and also, you know, mental stimulation for your brain. The ones that do there do live a much longer life than perhaps those that have a much more sedentary life.
Yes, indeed. The older adult population perhaps has the most benefit to gain for simply increasing their activity by small amounts, by walking for 10 minutes a day more than they used to do.
Yeah.
But there's a great temptation with our current technologies to sit down at the computer, to sit down to watch hours of television, to sit down as we drive places. And even if we are doing our 30 minutes of walking on most days of the week, even if we're achieving that, and we know that's hard for people to do, if you also sit down for long periods of time during the day at work or as you're driving or in the evening as you're relaxing, you remain at risk, particularly for metabolic health. So getting up and moving around regularly is almost equally as important as getting out and doing your walking or gardening or other activities.
It just isn't, I guess, the most healthiest way to live our lives, is it?
Yes, and some people describe it as, you know, we are built to be hunters and gatherers, and the genes that we have to make us very good for that, of course, last thousands of years. So the fact that we do not now have to hunt and gather.
You know, 30, 40 minutes of walking or swimming or whatever it is, just get up off your seat and do it. You know,
we'll go hunter and gather at the coffee shop after this, Michael.
Well, I'm looking forward to lunch.
Yeah, you need to take your bow and arrow down there with you then.
See you later.
Hey, thanks, Nanette.
Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking. The perfect gift idea is a Mind Food magazine subscription. Visit mindfood.com today.
It's Mind Food Radio. Nice to have you with us today, wherever you are. And of course, don't forget to tell your friends about some of the great things that we talk about here on the radio. If you've missed anything, jump onto mindfood.com. Now, Carla Oates, she is a very, very special woman because she believes that beauty begins in the gut and fermentation. And we thought we'd get her on the line today to talk about what it is that she thinks we need to be looking out for. How are you, Carla?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, does beauty really begin in the gut?
Well, I think it does, because your gut is where everything happens. It's where you make your nutrients, it's where your hormones are metabolized, it's where your detoxifying enzymes are made,
yep.
Where it all happens.
In terms of what we're eating today, do you think stress is having more of an impact on our gut or the food we're eating?
Definitely. I mean, research shows that stress can really rob your body of nutrients.
Mm.
And it can cause an imbalance in the gut bacteria.
Yeah.
So you end up with this predominance of the bad bacteria as opposed to the good bacteria.
Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, the stress levels and stuff today, you know, trusting your gut instinct, is that something we should be still looking out for?
Oh, that good old pun.
Mm.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, the gut is also where, you know, 70% of your immune system lies. Doctors often refer to it as your second brain. It's also where your neurotransmitters are made.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess so much happens in your gut that if it's not working properly, that it can really affect your skin, your health, how you feel, your energy levels.
Mm. Yeah, and like from the people that you're working with, what's a typical stock standard person coming into your world and seeking advice?
Basically, I mean, I get lots of different people, different demographics, different age groups, and different issues. I mean, you know, I have people who have dry skin problems, skin outbreaks, feeling like their skin's really lackluster. And I always explain to them that, you know, the skin, hair, and nails are the last places to receive nutrients that go to more important organs first, because the body's really amazing. It's got its own priority systems have worked out.
You call yourself an avid beauty chef and formulator. Now, that's a really cool term.
Thank you.
But the work that you do is very important in the fact that you actually are believing that, or you're saying to people, what you're really eating is going to have an impact on the way you're going to feel and the way you're going to feel about yourself.
Of course, there's so many things that, you know, influence the way that we feel. And, you know, what we eat, I mean, at the end of the day, we are a bunch of chemicals. And, of course, what we eat is going to impact. I mean, you think of when you drink alcohol and how it can make you behave.
Mm.
You know, we know with, you know, kids eating colourings in foods, it can make them hyperactive. So, of course, I believe in a holistic approach, you know,
yeah.
Not only how you eat, but, you know, your attitude towards life and exercise. There are so many other things involved, but I think getting the right nutrition is a really, really important foundation.
So do you think if people are listening to us today and they're feeling all these things that we're talking about and they want, you know, the beauty and all that stuff, and they're feeling a little bit, you know, like they need to tune up, what should they do? I mean, should they go see a doctor and discuss this, or do a naturopath, or what do you recommend?
Look, I mean, you know, I'm a big, you know, one of my biggest tenets is, you know, work on your gut first.
Mm.
And a lot of people have leaky gut and, you know, they might be feeling, you know, have digestion problems, skin problems, be feeling really lethargic. So doctors are pretty, I mean, it's fantastic that all this stuff is really crossing over into the mainstream too now. So I think if you go and see your doctor or your naturopath and say, look, I just really want to check my gut and make sure that, you know, I've got a good balance of good bacteria, starting by just eating really good foods, less processed foods, doing, you know, exercising, trying to relax.
Yeah.
And also getting those fermented foods or those probiotics into your diet, which are really important for improving gut health.
Fantastic. Well, Carla, thank you for joining us again on the program. Really interesting to talk to you. You're the ambassador for the Biological Farmers of Australia in certified organic skincare, and thanks for doing a good job and looking after our health.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Mind Food Radio, smart thinking.
And welcome back to Mind Food Radio. I love doing little interviews around the world of artistic value. And on the line, we've got Ken Duncan joining us today. He's got a brand new book out. How are you, Ken?
I'm great, mate. Thank you.
When you talk about art, what turns you on in the art world?
Well, I love photography because it's, you know, it's capturing a reality that, you know, artists may try to interpret and, you know, they do their best, but there's nothing better than the real thing as far as I'm concerned.
I'm looking at your website here. I'm excited. You can join Ken Duncan on a brand new photographic adventure to India, and you get to see some tigers.
You bet. We love those. Yeah, we do. Look, the reason I do adventures like that is because after I've, you know, found the right people to deal with and the right parks and the places to go to, I think, well, man, I should share this with other people. And I love, you know, I've just had a fascination with wildlife as well just recently, and so I've just been over there recently and captured some amazing shots of tigers, and so we're going back again to do some more tigers and also some of the Indian elephants. You know, we also go to Africa as well, but yeah, so once you actually go, once you get hooked.
So Ken, how did you get involved into the world of photography? Was it something that you wanted to do initially, or you fell into it?
Well, I was in the business world, and you know, someone told me that life was all about making money and all that sort of stuff, and
yeah,
it really wasn't working for me. It just came with a lot of stress and things like that,
yep.
And I thought there's got to be more to life than that. So I actually sold up everything and decided to go off and find, for me, a meaning to life greater than just possessions and things like that. And so off I went, and I took with me a camera, because if you sort of tell people you're on a journey trying to find a meaning to life, they look at you sort of strange, but if you tell them you're a photographer, that's okay. So, so for me, I thought there's got to be more, and that's how my journey, it was really trying to find a meaning to life, and to me it did, you know. Through my journey, I actually realized there was a God, that there was a creator, and that he loved me, and that's what I really like to do now. I'm just an average photographer with a great God, and I'm just trying to show more his beauty, not my talent or anything like that, because... And it's not being a false humility or anything like that. It's more about, because, you know, and that's why when I present my photos, I want them to be real. I'm not into all that Photoshop thing and putting in this and putting in that. I want to try and present the photos as close to what it would have been like when I'm there, to bring that, so that when people go to that place, they can go, oh, now I see what he was looking at, you know.
I love some of the photos that you've got here. Like, you know, there's a particular shot of you standing on some rocks with some sexy-looking penguins there.
Oh, I love it. You know, like, there was a rule that you can't get too close to the penguins.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, that's okay. But the penguins don't know the rules.
Yeah, if they come close to you, that validates it, hey?
They come up, you know, I'm sitting there, hang on, I can't be, you know. Like, and the thing, one came up so close, he came up and he started pecking my lens.
Oh, isn't that fabulous?
Because he could see his face in my lens, and I'm going, right, I think I'd better move now. But it's so much fun. Like, I love wildlife. I love all of the creation, you know. It's just fun to get out there, you know. And the thing about photography, it is the number one hobby in the world right now. And the thing is, I think it's because people are, in a way, loving to get out there and look at life. You know, they're realizing that the politicians don't have the answers. And, you know, if it's not the GFC that's going to get you, it's Bin Laden, or it's not him now because he's gone, but they'll replace him with someone else.
Yes.
Or it's, you know, what is it? You know, there's always a bird flu, swine flu, they just keep rolling them out.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But when you look at the beauty of nature, it makes you realize there's something bigger going on than us.
Well, Ken, look, thank you very much for all your beautiful seascapes and outback photos and waterfalls and rainforests and country living. And really, you're doing a great reference to our lives. And I think it's a great thing that you're doing. And thanks very much for joining us today on Mind Food.
Thank you, mate. If they want to look at more of what we're talking about, they can look on my website, kenduncan.com.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.
Well, summer is around the corner, not too far away, and Christine Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, is joining us on the line today from True Solution. She's got some great ideas to help prepare our skin for summer. How are you, Christine?
I am very well, thank you.
Every time I think of your name, your surname, I think of Dean Martin, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. I love that song.
Usually it's Snow White.
So it's Snow White. Now, look, we're heading out of the winter season into the summer. What are some things we need to be looking out for in terms of our skin?
Well, when we're coming into summer, I always think it's a little bit like spring cleaning the house. And so when it comes to the skin, let's start getting rid of all the dead skin cells that have accumulated over winter and that lack of radiance that we get. So I always say one thing to do, this is the time to go and invest in a really good cleanser. And I personally like some with a little bit of an AHA, particularly lactic acid. People get a bit scared of it, but it's naturally found in the skin, lactic acid, because that's going to exfoliate. It's going to get rid of all that buildup of dead skin cells. It's deep cleansing. And once you shed that dead skin, the real you starts to appear underneath, that nice radiant skin.
Fabulous. Now, the second thing you recommend is doing some beauty masks.
Well, you know, masks used to be very popular, and I think people have forgotten about them. You know, you'd never go and have a facial in a salon, pay good money, and not have the mask. Why? It's the most intensive part of the treatment.
Mm.
And there's masks out there that literally are for everyone. You know, you can get masks that are like clay and herbal masks that are deep cleansing. I call them the Hoover. You know, you might sweep your face every day, but they hoover out all the impurities. You know, if you've got blocked pores or blackheads, etc. You can get replenishing masks. So if your skin's a little bit dry or losing radiance, you get masks that literally put in all the moisturizing nutrients that your skin needs. You know, we hear about moisturizers with ceramides and hyaluronic acid, essential fatty acids. Well, masks can plump up the skin by feeding the skin. And also today, one of my favorites, because they're newer on the market at the moment, and I call them miracle, peptide masks. Peptides are really big technology at the moment, and peptides are fantastic. They can have enzymes that digest all the dead skin cells, but my favorite, most women's, are collagen-producing peptides in the skin, and they help plump up the skin, and they make those fine lines and wrinkles start to disappear.
Fantastic. Now, when we're looking at mineral makeups, are they good and bad?
Well, there's a lot of different mineral makeups, and really, the ingredient listing could look the same, but it's where are they sourced? Because when it comes to minerals, it's a bit like diamonds. You know, you get cheap minerals, good minerals. So where are they sourced? And in all fairness, for mineral makeup, some of the best come from Canada, the raw ingredients, Canada and America.
Mm.
But today you can also get mineral makeups that are infused with antioxidants as well, which are going to give even more protection and more radiance, more benefit to the skin.
Mm.
So they're becoming more sophisticated, and they're perfect for the summer. So if you've been using a liquid foundation, you know, when at the end of the day, when you think, God, my makeup's all gone, where do you think it's gone? Into the skin.
Yes.
So the mineral makeup sit on the surface of the skin. They don't penetrate the skin.
Mm.
They provide a natural sun protection. So you get about an SPF 15, and in the summer we need as much protection that we can get. It's also brush-on protection. So if you're at a barbecue, you're not going to take all your makeup off and reapply the sunscreen. You can do a little dusting over again of your mineral makeup, and you're boosting your sun protection. And also they have the most fantastic versatile coverage. So again, if it's a barbecue, if you're at the beach shopping, a nice light coverage. If you're going out to at night, the parties that we have this time of the year, you can give as much coverage, cover as many imperfections as you want to literally give that perfect skin.
And of course, those imperfections sometimes that you are covering up should be checked out by a skin specialist, don't you think?
Absolutely. If there's anything that you're not sure of that has suddenly appeared, doesn't seem right, always go and have it checked and make sure you're treating it in the right way.
Fantastic. Well, look, Christine, thank you very much for joining us today, giving us some three wonderful tips to get our skin ready for summer. And we'll talk to you, well, in a few weeks about summer and stuff that we should be using at the beach, I imagine.
Yes, that's perfect.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And for more details, you can go to mindfood.com. Michael, we're off to the sparkle and shine segment of the program.
You love this segment.
I love this segment.
You can't actually wait. Every time, I have to tell the listeners this, every time we start a radio show, if Carolyn is coming on to talk about fashion, Ben sort of sits up straight in the seat and says, oh, I can't wait to talk to Carolyn. She's a great interview. I can't wait to hear what she's going to talk about.
I know. She's always got something interesting to say.
What is it? Is it because you're a bit of a man about town and fashion stakes?
I think so. I reckon I should do fashion on the fields of the horse races. Carolyn and I could do that.
We could. We could go out there and, you know.
Couldn't you imagine us on TV? Like, oh, what is that person wearing over there? Camera four. Sparkle and shine. What are we talking about there? Are we talking about patent leather shoes?
It's Christmas time, Carolyn. Take it away.
It is. And it's not about dressing up like tinsel and like a Christmas tree, but metallics are really, really big, particularly coloured metallics. And, you know, you've seen that through with Burberry recently. They've been putting metallics through in beautiful, you know, hot pinks and lovely pastel greens and bright blues. And that's coming through a lot also in coats and biker jackets. Sarah Jessica Parker's been rocking out those quite a lot lately. But you can also add that sparkle to your Christmas party look. And you're seeing a lot of sequins, a lot of gold, return to a lot of crystal jewellery and big jewellery. So, it's all about dressing up for the festive season.
Do you think it's easy to wear? Like, I have never watched X Factor. And so last night I turn it on and Natalie Bassingthwaite, that's her name, isn't it, the judge?
Yeah, yeah.
She's there in this neon green with silver kind of
glittery things,
metallic all over it. Anyway, driving to work today.
You saw her again wearing that same dress?
Well, wait for it. I did see the dress in Ginger and Smart window. Or is it Smart and Ginger?
Ginger and Smart.
And I thought, God, you know, I didn't think that really worked on TV. Are people going to wear it? You know, Carolyn, is this a trend that people can really wear?
Well, it all depends on your body shape and what suits you, unfortunately. Mm. And sometimes, no matter what, it's a beautiful dress, if you're just the wrong shape for it, you just shouldn't go there. So it's all about knowing your own style and what works for you. And so, you know, if you're really confident, I mean, if you've got an award ceremony to go to, a really special party and you want to stand out, I would definitely wear the bright green. I wouldn't, and sparkle, I wouldn't go for, you know, black, because everyone wears black and it's boring. So if you want to stand out and you want to be the party girl and everyone notices you, then choose a bright, sparkly colour, but make sure that it suits you. And one scary thing about, I guess, bright, sparkly green sequins is at a Christmas party, you could look a little bit like a Christmas tree. So
someone could be standing hanging lights on you.
Exactly. So it could kind of backfire. So just decide what kind of look you want to go for first before you start dressing up.
How slavish do you think people are these days in following trends? Because, you know, no matter what press you read, there seems to be this huge growth in online purchasing of fashion. You know, the lack of the tills ringing at a store level locally. But how slavish do you think people are really following trends these days?
I don't think they are. And I think I was thinking about this yesterday, and it's fantastic in the sense that a lot of trends are coming through that is hanging around, like the trench coat's really been enduring the last few seasons. The maxi dress is still there and very popular, and it's great because you pop it on and you're dressed. You know, people are op shopping a lot more and wearing vintage, and so it's all about choosing, you know, a few things to update your wardrobe and also what suits, it goes back to what suits your body shape.
And love your body.
Mm. And going from there. Yeah. And I laughed the other day, I was complaining I always have to take trousers up, and my friend pointed out, well, if you buy the 3/4 pants, you won't have to take them up, they'll be the right length. And she was right.
I actually think that's a little sad.
You are quite funny. You've now described yourself. I've got a completely different illusion now. It's so funny.
Now next you'll be shopping at Pumpkin Patch.
Yeah.
Oh, not that short.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, listen, thanks, Carolyn. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking with Michael McHugh and Ben Starr.
Now, Michelle's ready to tell us how we can do some cool barbecuing.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you both?
Good, very well.
Now, I've got to say, we've just had, you know, the guy to tell us all about, you know, what we can buy in the market for $20, and he's talked a lot about limes. And I know, Michelle, you've started drinking hot water of the morning with a slice of lime in there. Is that right?
I have. And then it's fantastic. You know, I was first up, cup of coffee, loved it, couldn't be happier. And I have changed my morning routine to include a hot glass of hot water and a lime, squeeze of lime. And it's beautiful. I'm really enjoying it.
And apparently much better for your metabolism. Is that right?
I hope so. I've got a compliment today, so it must be doing me the world of good.
Oh, well, that's very good. Now, listen, summer's around the corner. What are we cooking?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, the day, like today is 27 degrees, it's beautiful outside, so I think we've got to get out the skewers and get some kebabs on the barbecue, nice easy dinner, something we can all put together, and, you know, you can have seafood, we've got the mince recipes, and we've got pork, and also you can think of a summer kebab, you can thread some beautiful seasonal fruit on there, rock melons, and, nectarines, anything, pineapple, anything you've got, thread them onto a skewer. But remember, you've got to soak those skewers. If you're using bamboo skewers, soak them in cold water for at least 30 minutes before threading, especially with meat, because it stops the meat sticking to the skewers, and also it stops the skewers burning on the barbecue.
Oh, that's a good technique.
It is, because, you know, how often do you go to a barbecue?
Yeah, mine's always ended up as a TP.
Yeah, well, exactly, you know.
And burning.
And you pick it up, and, of course, the stick falls apart because it's all burnt. And listen, what about marinades for the meat, for the kebabs? Have you got anything there up your sleeve?
Yeah, well, my favourite, all-time favourite in our house, and we always pull it out, is the mustard with some Worcester sauce and a little bit of sweet sour salty, so you've got to have the soy and some garlic, and that always makes a beautiful marinade for me. And you know, we're asking you to, and also don't be frightened for what you're threading onto your skewers. You know, we've got caps, can you can chop corn cobs and, you know, cut them down and thread them on if you're strong enough to spread them through. And prawns with strips of sausage. There's so many things you can do with skewers, and it makes it, you know, nice change for the family meal.
Chorizo sausages, I've noticed.
Love those.
Yeah, and they're on lots of menus. Like, I notice them now, particularly on brunch menus and breakfast menus, don't you?
Yeah, everywhere.
I guess they would make perfect kebabs, though. They'd be beautiful.
Mm.
They do.
I'm hungry already.
We were at the Porto Valley Market in London not that long ago, and one of our favourite treats was the a barbecued chorizo sausage with halloumi and caramelised onions with lots of lovely crunchy lettuce. Oh, imagine that in a bread roll.
I know. Followed by a glass of hot water and some lime.
No, I think they might need a sangria with it. Well, that sounds absolutely beautiful. And listen, I know you've got your new Christmas edition coming up. How did the cookbook get put together in the end?
Oh, well, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Well, Michael, you came up with a beautiful design layout, so we're thrilled with that. And look, we've really taken the different cultures that are influencing what we're eating today, chosen our four favourites, as helped by our readers, and we've come up with beautiful menus. We start the day with a brunch. We've given you nibble options and then mains with sides, and then we're finishing off with a beautiful dessert. And, you know, you've got to get out there and buy this issue. It's absolutely delicious.
I love Christmas.
Yeah. Great for the eyes and great for the great for eating as well.
And we've actually gone with quite a traditional cover, because what we do is we always switch it around. So you get the main cover, then you switch it over and you get the Christmas cookbook.
Yeah.
And so you really are buying two for one in terms of that magazine.
Yeah.
But we've gone for a very different and fairly traditional approach for the cover. It's the most beautiful Christmas cake. And
it's
Michelle,
Michelle, are you going to make a pre-Christmas cake for us? A practice one?
Practice has been done in June.
Oh, okay.
Hey, listen, Michelle, food director of Mind Food, thank you very much. Great idea for lunch. I feel like a kebab. What do you think?
Oh, I'd love one.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Nice skewer? We should do that.
Okay, bye.
Mind Food Magazine and Mind Food Radio. Together, smart thinking.
Our next guest here on Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking, takes us into the world of, well, having a good sake. I've actually have a sample of these a few times in my life, but I don't know what's good and I don't know what's bad. So we thought we'd get Andre Bishop on the line and he can give us a bit of background. How are you, Andre?
I'm very good, thanks.
The last sake I had, I think I nearly blacked out.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Well, look, you know, it was an experimental phase, I think, in my life. Japanese restaurants and sake bars, how on earth did you get involved in that?
It's a long story, but it started in my childhood.
Yeah.
I just got fascinated with Japanese cartoons on TV, and then that developed into, you know, building toy robots while all my friends were, you know, building tanks. And then I guess as I grew up, that sort of, I guess, general interest in Japan grew into an obsession with its food and its national drink. That's the short story.
That's the short story. What? How do you become a sake connoisseur?
Well, I guess it's like the wine world. I mean, you start off drinking a lot of the stuff, and then you get to a point where you, I guess, kind of want to turn that that sort of enjoyment into, I guess, a professional knowledge. So I went and studied sake in Japan.
Yeah.
So I did, I guess, the equivalent of a sommelier's certification in Japan.
Yeah, you've got a multi-award-winning place called the Golden Monkey. I just love how this is described, inspired by the 1920s opium dens and bars of Shanghai. Sounds like a yeah. pretty cool place.
Yeah, that was kind of a little bit of a diversion. I mean, normally my interest is purely sort of in Japan, but I did Golden Monkey with two friends, Adam Ong and Michael Chen. So we opened Golden Monkey up, that was in about 2007. Mm-hmm. So that's very much more of a sort of a Chinese opium den-inspired cocktail bar.
Now, we're going out tonight to a restaurant, and just say we're going to a Japanese restaurant. We are. What do you recommend that we should try, and what do you think we should be drinking?
Well, I guess I'll dispel a few of the basic misconceptions about sake. One is that it's a kind of rocket fuel that has to be served scaldingly hot, and the consensus is that it gives you a terrible hangover in the morning. this is, I mean, this is, uh, I guess, There is very cheap, very nasty sake out there that I guess, but luckily, we don't usually get it in Australia. Certain dining situations, I mean, it can be quite enjoyable as long as it's not overheated. It's you know, warmed to a nice drinkable temperature. But mainly now in the sake world with brewing technology in the last sort of 50 to 60 years, premium sake is really designed to be drunk cool.
Basically, how do you drink it? Do you just drink it like a normal beer?
Traditionally in Japan, it's served in the small cup that maybe many people are familiar with, which is the ochoko, and it's poured from the sake flask, the jukuri. But that's generally the style for warm sake. For cool premium sake, I mean, we serve it in a stemless wine glass because the brewers are now going to a lot of trouble to get, you know, beautiful fragrance in certain styles of sake, and that can be really appreciated in a wine glass.
Well, look, Andre, thanks for coming on the show today and giving us a bit of an insight into this exciting world. Of course, good luck with your restaurants down there in Melbourne. We hope to maybe get a few others around the place down the track.
Well, luckily, I guess sake appreciation is growing in Australia, so it's good to see that people are considering it as a drinking option with food.
And thanks for talking about sake and giving us a bit of an insight to it. It's been very, very interesting.
My absolute pleasure.
Mind Food Radio. Smart thinking. The perfect gift idea is a Mind Food magazine subscription. Visit mindfood.com today.
Thank you for joining us here on Mind Food Radio. Well, Franco Lagudi joins us on the radio. We had lots of success with his segment last week, and we thought we'd get him back on and talk about what's in season. And there's a lot in season, as a matter of fact. First up, Franco, we are standing at your fruit bar. Tell us about some mangoes.
Well, listen, mangoes have been a great buy over the last couple of weeks, and there was an explosion in demand, which is great for mangoes. The quantity on the market floor this week is not quite as large as last week, which isn't a bad thing. Mangoes will move up in price, probably about 10 to 20%. But don't let this scare you off. They are great buying, and they're eating absolutely superb. We're coming into the thrust of mangoes now.
Now, moving along from the mango season, kiwi fruit, what's happening there?
Still a great buy. Third week running, kiwi fruit are pumping out the door. They're at a great price. So get into kiwi fruit. Yeah, now's a great time to try this exotic fruit. It's great.
So how are the limes looking?
I tell you what, Queensland needs warm weather to get these limes going, and I just can't see it happening. There are limes on the market, but they're a big price, and they're a pretty penny.
Cucumbers, what's happening along that line?
Great buy. Excellent buy. Can't go past Tullycraft cucumbers this week. I think you'll get them. I think the price will be back around 25 to 30%. They'll be a real good buy.
And good old rock melons.
Yes. Now, rock melons are going to tighten up a little bit, so keep an eye out for that. North Queensland is coming to an end this week with rock melon production. South Queensland is going to pick up in the next couple of weeks, but they need consistent high temperatures for the rock melons to yield and come on. And that hasn't quite reached those highs in temperatures yet, but they're around the corner. They're not far.
Okay, now we've got $20 in our pocket. What do you reckon we should do with it this week?
All right, I'd say buy a couple of kilos of kiwi fruit. Cos lettuce is a definite great buy this week. Telecue's a great buy this week. Mangoes are still a really good buy, even though they're going to be up a little bit in price. Well worth it. I think that'll round you off. Maybe a few strawberries. Oh, one item I did mention I think will be a great buy is watermelon.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've seen a lot of that around.
Yeah, I think watermelon's going to be a great buy this coming week. If you get a bit of warm weather, it's going to really pump out the door.
Well, Franco, thanks for joining us and talking about all that fresh fruit and veggie. We'll chat to you next time here on Mind Food.
Ben, an absolute pleasure to be here, and it's great talking with you.
Yeah, Franco Lagudi there, talking about what's in season right here on Mind Food Radio.
Have you seen the picture of you on Facebook, on MindFood?
Yes, no. When was that?
Yes, no.
No, I haven't.
It's on. It's
what is it?
Oh, you were at one function representing.
Oh,
you were waving
right.
The flag.
Yeah,
you look very smart, actually. Carolyn would be impressed.
He would. Yeah, well, she would be impressed. I know the one you're talking about, Mr. Hennessy.
Go and have a look, listeners.
Okay, until next time, don't forget the app. You can jump onto the store and grab that as well and sign up for a daily recipe at mindfood.com. See you, Michael.
See ya.
Mind Food Radio, Smart Thinking, was produced in the studio of Radio Australasia. Produced by Ben Starr and Brian Newington and Patrick K. Roos. Bogart Torelli speaking.